So today we celebrate a special Sunday. It's called Priesthood Sunday. And I want to honor Father at the end of this homily, but before I get to all that, I have to tell a priest joke. So you know, Father Norm, before he became our pastor, he spent a number of years as the executive director of Heart to Heart Ministries, and a co-director with him was a lawyer, Larry Vulliman. Many of you know Larry. I think he might even be here today. Hi, Larry. And here's the joke. What do you call a priest that becomes a lawyer? Father-in-law.
Oh.
Thank you for humoring me. So these readings today, especially this gospel reading, loving God with all our heart and mind and soul, I don't know how to preach this without using the context of my own experience in dating and married life. And that's the context I'm going to use, because I'm sure if Father Norm were given this homily, he would take it from the aspect of loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength as a celibate priest. But I want to take it in the context of what I know. And I might have said this before. When I became ordained back in 1994, my children were young, and I didn't want to embarrass them, but I used them a lot in my homilies. And as you know, in my 2.5 years here, Father Norm has called me, he's dubbed me a folksy preacher. Folksy preacher. I kind of like that. Meaning I talk about family and job and work and grandkids and all that and try to fit it in the context of the Gospels. So I told my kids, every time I mention them in a homily, I'd give them $5, right? That way it made they wouldn't be so embarrassed every time I use them. Well, I kept that promise, but my wife wanted to be included in on that. So she's going to make a lot of money this weekend because I'm preached 3 times. And here's my story. When I was a senior in high school, I didn't date. I didn't date at all. I was actually pretty nerdy and a little too shy to talk to girls. Now, I know that's hard to believe. I know. I've blossomed quite a bit over the years. But back in those days, I don't know. I just couldn't get myself to do it. And one night after a football game, I was on the football team. One night after a football game, when I was leaving the locker room, and of course, when you leave the locker room after a football game, there's nobody left. Everybody's gone home except, you know, the people cleaning the stands and a few folks like that. But there was a concession stand right outside the locker room. And there was a young lady in there, a young girl, a teenager, cleaning it up and putting things away. And when I came out of that locker room and I saw her, I was toast. That's when it happened. I was struck with lightning, blinded by the light, as the song goes. I never had that kind of feeling before. And I was just standing there stunned. I thought, who is this beautiful girl working the concession stand? And I was totally Twitter-pater, if that's the right word, right? Who was she? How can I get her name and number? I was such an idiot because I was too afraid to walk over and talk to her. So I went home and I spent the entire night laying awake wondering, oh man, how am I ever going to meet her? Maybe she's too good for me. I don't know how to talk to girls. I have 3 sisters and that doesn't count. What should I do? How is a nerd like me ever going to have the guts to ask her out? Well, it took me about 3 weeks, and through the encouragement of a couple of my buddies, I finally asked her out. And guess where I asked her out? It was at PSR. See, there's a little divine thing going on here, right? And she accepted. And I was like, whew. I don't think I could handle a rejection. For the next 5 years, I loved her with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I couldn't think of anything else. It was even hard to study. I was so infatuated. And I didn't care about my neighbor. All I cared about was her, getting to know her, getting to, you know, love her and date her and everything about her. Certainly I care about my neighbor now. And I tell you this story of my younger years because I don't know how to describe what it means to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Now, I add strength to this because in some of the gospel accounts, Jesus actually adds that fourth one. In this gospel, it's heart, soul, mind, but I mention that too. And I want to just kind of look at the four of these real briefly. What does it mean to love God with all of our heart? Well, the heart is the part of us that encompasses our emotions, right? It's more than just that organ that pumps blood, but it's really something that comes out of our emotions. And we're all wired by God because we're made in His image. We're all wired to love and be loved. That is our destiny. We can't deny that. And in some ways, it's a terrible gift because, you know, if you've ever been deeply in love, love can hurt and it comes with a cost. And you also know that all relationships end in one of two ways, either divorce or death, because it's pretty rare that a couple will die together, right? So love hurts, but would we have it any other way? And, you know, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work the first time, and maybe it takes the second time. But you know what I'm talking about. So that's loving God with all our heart. What does it mean to love God with our soul? Well, the soul is that part of us that's divine. That's our connection to God, the personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how we pray, how we worship, how we give thanksgiving, what we believe about the resurrection and eternal life, our reason for being, and how we commune with the sacraments and with the Eucharist. That's the soul, that part of us that God puts into us at the moment of conception, right? The part of us that goes on after our death. What is the mind? That's the reasoning part that explores and studies and researches the love of God or the love of another. The love of God in Scripture and church teaching and the lives of the saints. And when you fall in love with God, just like when you fall in love with your spouse, you want to know everything about them. You already have this heart knowledge that attracted you to them, but then you want to know more. You know, who is she? What do her parents do? What is she like? What are her hobbies? You know, where does she like to go out to dinner? All that kind of stuff. Well, it's the same with God. You know, you read the Scriptures, you want to know more and more and more. And finally, the strength. Where does the strength come from? To love God with all our strength. Well, that comes from the Holy Spirit, right? That keeps us, you know, committed to God in the church. And for people who are in love, that strength is the grace of the sacrament. Whether it's ordination or holy matrimony, you know that in tough times, good times and bad, sickness, health, sometimes that's all you got. You got to dig deep, right? And get the strength of the sacrament, the grace, our Holy Spirit to help you through it. So we're called to love God as God loves us, without limit, without condition, without counting the cost, completely and selflessly. And I have to tell you, after a few years of dating my wife, Paula, both of us had what I would call a very profound conversion experiences. Certainly, we were rooted in our faith as Catholics by our parents and our church and PSR and all that. But those conversions experiences that we had as a couple at different prayer groups and different retreats and things like that, helped us to want to know our Lord even deeper. So it's not just about head knowledge, it's also about heart knowledge. You have to have both, you know. That's all part of the package of being a Christian. But here's the hard part. Here's the tough. Here's the rub. Jesus goes on to say, there's part two here. That is to love your neighbor. I'm like, oh, really? It was easy to love Paula. But do I really have to love my neighbor? It is hard sometimes. But here's the key thing. Look at the language here. Jesus says not that we have to love everybody, because there's no way you can love everybody. That's, you know, how can you love everybody? You can't know everybody. But you certainly can love your neighbor. And that changes everything. You know, who is my neighbor? Is that that guy next door that, you know, drives you crazy because he mows his lawn on Sunday afternoon when you're trying to, is it the guy at work? I don't like him, you know, maybe he's something about him, I can't get along with him. Is it a black coworker? Is it the Hispanic parishioner? Is it the gay nephew? Who's my neighbor? Jesus challenges us to look at that and to look with neighbor eyes, to set aside prejudice and fear and exclusion and excuses, especially the ones based on religion. And finally, he says, of these two commandments, do this and you will live. Jesus is giving us the promise that if we love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength on one another, our salvation is assured and life will be beautiful. It will. So I want to just take a quiet moment, as Father Norm always does at the end of our homilies. Just take a quiet moment. But we're going to do something different with this quiet moment. This is Priesthood Sunday. And I want you to take a quiet moment to think about our pastor. And I know, I have known Father Norm way before I was a deacon. He loves the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and his neighbor. And it transfers to us as children and adults of this parish. So I want you to take a quiet moment. And here's what I want everybody to do. Think for a second. Think for a moment, what special quality or what is it that you love and cherish about Father Norm, our pastor?
I'm going to go to the back of the church and I'm going to ask a volunteer from the back. Then I'll ask a volunteer from the middle and a volunteer from the front, just to express for the rest of us, what is it about Father Norm that you love as a priest, as a person? What do you cherish about him? I need a hand in the back here. Oh, you got to put your hand up or I'm going to call on you. Oh, here we go. All right, we have somebody who's a big Browns fan here.
What is probably Father Norm's best aspect is being somebody who visits, but on a regular basis, is he always seems so welcoming, and, you know, he doesn't judge anyone. It seems like he, you know, the story that I hear from his homilies, how he was a convert, and a lot of converts sometimes make the best Catholics. You got it. And, you know, I think him being a convert is kind of what makes him be one of the best priests, because he's got nothing but love. And like Jesus spreads his arms and welcomes everyone, that's Father Norm.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right, I need one person from the middle here. A middle person. Here we go. Do you have your hand up? No, I'm not going to put her on the spot. They were pointing at you. Somebody wants to share. What about Father Norm? Oh, here we go.
Father Norm embodies joy, and I love that. Thank you.
Beautiful. And one from the front. Someone from the front. Going. Annie, Ann.
Father Norm listens.
Beautiful. Could we all stand and show our love and appreciation for our pastor on Priesthood Sunday?